All right? And we start a new series of studies this evening, and that's on the book of Galatians. It is in that book that we plan to have six studies, and it is a very dramatic book for the Apostle Paul to write to a good number of churches there in Galatia. Now, the first chapter I entitle The Man and His Message. It's a kind of an introduction on the whole chapter. And he comes to tell the churches of Galatia what he has in his heart. In chapter 1, verse 1, we have the author's name. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul. And remember, the Apostle Paul, there is a mistake on the page, and I'm going to get to there. When I get to that point, I show you the mistake that this Japanese Korean computer did. All right. Here is what it is. Paul is the author. And as you remember, Paul comes from Acts chapter 9 when he found the Lord. And in Acts chapter 11 is already a teacher at the church there in Antioch of Syria. And then on Acts chapter 13, he's already placed as a missionary. And it was in one of his missions that he started many churches in the Galatia area. And now he's writing to them. Now, the recipients of the letter are there in verse 2. And let me read again verse 1 and verse 2. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches, plural, of Galatia. Now, roughly, just for your picture in your mind, picture Turkey today, and that's Galatia. And so there were the church of Iconium, the church of Lystra, there were many churches founded in the area, and that's what he said to the churches of Galatia. Now, the purpose of this letter to this church is to defend the justification by faith of our salvation. Look at it in verse 6 and in verse 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So there was some kind of idea. Roughly was this. In order to be saved, you need to practice Judaism and then take the Lord's Supper as a Christian. Imagine myself coming in with a ram here, kill the ram, sprinkle the blood on all of you, and then now have the Lord's Supper. Something like that. Having the laws of the book of Leviticus imply in your life, plus the New Testament rules of grace and mercy. It was a mixture. The church didn't know, somebody taught wrong to this church, didn't know what to do about it. Are we Jew or are we Christians? And so there was a confusion in doctrine, and the Apostle Paul explained it all. So first of all, in chapter 1, as I said, he identified himself, and then he tells them about his message. Now, he talks a little bit about himself, which I call Paul's identification. In verse 1, he said that he's an apostle, not of man, but of Jesus Christ. In other words, nobody have ordain him. I'm an apostle, period. Now, why the church questioned him to be an apostle? Because in order to be an apostle, there are certain requirements. Let's look on it. Put one hand in Galatians and go with me to the first chapter of the book of Acts. And you know there comes an election. They have to elect one apostle because Judas got killed, and so need to be replaced. And I'm going to read Acts chapter 1, verses 20 to 26. Here's what the Bible said. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, now here is how you're going to elect an apostle. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. So now you have the period of time that the man needs to be born and serve to be an apostle. From the baptism of John till the day that the Lord Jesus was taken. Some of those people that were alive and were serving with Jesus from this congregation, from the time of the baptism of John to the time of Jesus went into heaven, we need to select one. Verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they pray and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two that has chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Verse 26, and they gave four their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was a number with the 11 apostles. Now, an apostle then need to be from that particular time. So now the question is, how can Paul, who was not with them at a particular time, Paul who was persecuting actually then, how can Paul then be named an apostle? So we need to go to the to the book of Acts, now chapter 9, and find his conversion. He need to be one, an apostle. In order to be an apostle, need to be one who was with Jesus, eye to eye, who serve the Lord physically right at the moment. I cannot call myself an apostle. I can call myself a pastor, the office that God has established, but I cannot call myself an apostle because I was not there when Jesus was there. Neither Paul. And so how can Paul call himself an apostle? Well, let's look into his conversion. Chapter 9, verse 7 to 9. Look at here. What happened? Chapter 9, verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he pray, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of these men how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went in his way and entered into the house and putting the hands on him, say, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 18 is clear. And immediately there fell from his eye as it has been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples there at Damascus. And so it is an experience that he can claim that he was eye to eye in contact with the Lord Jesus. And later on, explain farther how he studied with Jesus. Now, in verse 3, he tells what he specializes, going back to Galatians 1. He said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was also always in the vocabulary of the Apostle Paul. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. And so Paul always remembered that he did not deserve to be elected to be a servant in the kingdom of God, but God chose him to be so. And then peace, he says. Look at in verse 3. He said, grace to you and peace from the Lord Jesus. You remember John 14:27, where Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world give unto you, I give it to you. And so, therefore, he's talking about an inward peace. He's talking about a peace of conscience, a peace of mind. And so he wants the people to know that he's at peace with God. Why? For what Ananias has said. This is a man who persecuted the church. This is a man who is an enemy of Christianity. This is a man who put people in jail in Jerusalem. And now when he writes, he wants the people to know that he's at peace with God, and therefore he's going to be at peace with you too. So that's his personal identification. Now, here is the mistake. Paul, disappointment. There's a mistake over there, and we don't know what language that computer is or what nation is, but the computer made a mistake, all right? Paul, disappointment, verses 6 to 10. Look at what he's think about the churches of Galatia. First, he talks about instability. I marvel, verse 6, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. In other words, if you are not saved by grace, if you are not saved by the gift of God or what we talked this morning, if you are not saved by the means of God, then you have another gospel. And then he corrects himself in verse 7, and he says, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, they took what the gospel is, and they perverted, all right? I hear over the television that there is a big church in Houston, Texas, 5,000 members. They brought over 3,000 children on the steps of the church, and they gave them a brand new Bible. And the pastor said, now these Bibles are good stories. Some of them you can believe it, some of them leave it alone. Now that's a perversion of the gospel, is that right? Imagine if I give you this Bible, or I say, well, I use the Bible, and I want to use the thing I think is good. The other part is no good. Then what kind of book is this? See, but this is how America is coming today. And so this is no new. There was instability 2,000 years ago in Galatia. Some people say, is it the end of the world? Well, what's instability there? It was not the end of the world. Now, verse 8, look at this standard in verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so the standard is the gospel. Now I'm going to clarify this because there are people who do not know what the gospel is. And they say the gospel is this and the gospel is the other. Now the Bible tell you what the gospel is. Put one hand here and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look with me in verses 1 to 3. And you will see what the gospel is. If somebody tells you, what's the gospel? You said to him, read 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. All right, what follows is the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel, he said, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, since ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now here's the gospel. For I deliver unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas. So what's the gospel? The gospel is the good news that Christ the Messiah have come. And the Messiah died according to the scripture. He was buried according to the scripture. And he resurrected. So salvation has been accomplished by God if we believe in the Messiah. And so that is the standard. So in verse 8, in Galatians 1 and in verse 8, he said, here is the standard. Here is how we stand. Here is what we believe. This is, you cannot compromise this. All right, verse 9 to 10 in Galatians 1, the implications that follow. As we say before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In other words, I don't want to change the message just to make you happy. You see that? That is what a pastor should measure when he goes into the ministry. If you want a lot of people in the church, you have to compromise. Because some people will be offended by the truth. And so you have to preach. That's what I take a book and I go through the book. Whatever the book said, that's what we preach. And this is very important. No compromise in the presentation. So Paul has a disappointment. Here's the standard. Here's the gospel. And somebody have moved you. It's so simple. God, by grace, has sent the Messiah. He paid for our sin. The only thing left is to believe it. And who moved you from that stuff? All right. Now he explained to them his commission as an apostle. Verse 11 and 12. The gospel legitimates Paul. Look at verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught by it, but by the revelation of Christ. Now here is what the argument is. I do not went to Peter's school. I do not went to the Sanhedrin school, even though he was there, to learn about the gospel. I learned it eye to eye with the Lord Jesus. That qualified him to be an apostle. That was his claim. All right? Now look at his background from verse 13 to 17. First, persecution. For ye have heard of my conduct, the King James said conversation, my conduct of life in time past, in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecute the church of God and I waste it. Wow. It's more like a criminal. In other words, he was a persecutor of the church. Then look at tradition, verse 14. And profit in the Jewish religion about many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my fathers. See, when a church denomination bases their doctrine on tradition, that based that tradition on the top of the Bible and should be very carefully established. Verse 15, look at salvation. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Each one of our remembrance of salvation is when pleases God. When pleases God, he said, now, then you wake up and you get to know. I asked a question in my Spanish class today. I said, now, the lesson was the impact of Jesus upon the life of people. And we studied the impact in the Bible. And so I closed the class with this question. Tell me about the impact of Jesus in your heart. And I was, nobody's going to speak. So I called people to speak. I start with the veteran, Pablo, And I said, habla, hermano. And he spoke, and that warmed up the thing. And then it was a little quiet. And then I said, Leo, speak. Tell me what Jesus means to you. And it was a silent moment. And his face changed. And he got, for the first time, really thinking. And he said, you know, I was an unbeliever all my life. And now I see the way. What a great joy brought to my life. He got sober, serious about it. He said, I see how this Bible have impacted my life. That I know there is a way. If he's saved or not, I cannot tell you. But I know one thing. The Bible has impacted his life. And he's going to pursue it. If we can take the unions out of his mind, I think it will be very, very, very proper. But it was good class. It produces an impact in your life. And so now look at the response in verse 16 and 17. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. Look at what happened in salvation. I don't check with anybody. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. You know, he was a PhD in religion. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. So I bet you that he said, boy, oh boy, if this is true, must be in the Old Testament. And so he went to Arabia. You're going to learn in a minute. 3 years. And he sit down with the manuscript, eat figs and olives. And boy, he studied the scripture. No wonder when he writes, he refers all the time to the Old Testament. This is the apostle that makes more reference to the Old Testament than any other apostle. And the reason is he took 3 years to find out, is this true or not? And that's the time he put it. All right, verse 17. Now, Paul's establishment of his case. Look at what he said. I study the case. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He finished the scrolls in the study. He picked up the pieces. He go to Jerusalem and I imagine this. But he maybe said to Peter, sit down there and let me tell you what I discovered. All right. After 3 years of study. All right. He studied the scripture and then he established his case. Then he associated with believers, verse 19. But others of the apostles, so I know, say James and the Lord's brother. Now, James was the pastor of the church, according to Acts chapter 15, because he was the one who led the church in different business meetings. He was not the pastor, he was the chairman of the board, because he presided over the church business and so on. And so he wanted to talk to this man and said, now, what's going on? All right. And then, I like this, he faced his past. Look at verse 20 until 22. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. In other words, what I want to tell you now is true. Afterward, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. You know where Cilicia is? It's right by Tarsus. Tarsus is a city of the county of Cilicia. Where was Paul famous, professor? In Cilicia. And so he went back over there. The first thing he did is he went back where he has his professor and his ministry. And he said, I want to face you. I like this. I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. He went to Tarsus and said, now, fellows, I want to tell you what I found on Christ Jesus. Verse 22. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Now he faced his past. The people in Tarsus knew Paul as the professor Paul, as the Pharisee Paul, as a member of the Sanhedrin. And he goes back to his people and he said, fellas, I found Christ Jesus, the Messiah. I'm wrong. Now, he was confirmed by the churches. Look at verse 23 and 24. But they have heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. The only thing the church heard is, remember, there was no television, no text, no phone. And the church heard that, hey, the guy who persecuted the church and has authority from the authorities, he now is one of us. Verse 24, and what the church did, and they glorified God and me. They say, God, you really got power to get this guy out from our back. Now, there is a little sentence that tell me is the clue to the entire chapter. It is not a matter of being a Baptist, of being a Pentecostal, of being a Methodist, a Roman Catholic. The key in a church is verse 22. He said, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which are in Christ. That is a church of God. A church that belongs to God is a church that is in Christ. Is a church that absolutely Christ is the head. Is a church that preaches Christ, counsel with Christ, and obey Christ. And therefore, that's to me the key thought in the apostle's mind. I'm going to go to a church. And he went to a church that have Christ at the center of their life. You can teach like I do tonight, doctrine from a book of the Bible. But if that doctrine is separated from Christ, it's no good. Means nothing. That theology is only for the head. The key is to learn about Christ. And what we learn in this is this. Paul never said so far here, I'm a philosopher. I have a PhD from this. I have, here to show you my certificate from the Sanhedrin. I'm a doctor of the law. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor of the law. He never said that. He dwells with that one idea. I'm in Christ. I'm new because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And that is the center of what I was reading this morning in my Sunday school class. Are these people in Christ? Brother Marcos Herrera said, the impact of Christ is so serious to me that when I go to work or when I do something, I always concern, is this what Christ want me to do? Now that is a great, absolutely. And Alejandra said, you know, we rejoice it. Alejandra said, this is new to me. A new life came to me. Her problem as a Mexican is I am not accepted of people. And some Mexican people are very cautious that the Americans would not accept them. But I'm in Christ, she said, and I knew that God accepted me. And so she's free from judging others. Whether they accept me or not, who cares? God accepted me. And, you know, as I put those questions, I left the class with such a joy. Because I really have people who understand what's all about it. It's being in Christ. And so here is the man. Yeah, he was a philosopher. He was a doctor and a great man. But he's a man in Christ. And here is what we have to be in life. We have to be people in Christ. That when people see us, they don't see us as professionals, they don't see us as this or the other. They see that each one of us has been changed because we are in Christ. This is what people have to see in this church. We are not here to push this doctrine or the other doctrine. We are here to present Christ. Christ. For a long time, Camille Bound, wonderful lady, asked me not to preach about Christ anymore. He said, I'm just sick and tired of you talking about Christ every Sunday. I don't say a word. She don't ask me that anymore. So I'm going to ask her one of those days, do you still want me to preach about Christ or not? See, because she is closer to the Lord and we need to confront it slowly and kindly. People say things because they don't know. Don't get offended. They don't know. They don't know. And they're afraid of what they hear in someplace else. Let the people come to this church, and when they leave, they said, Christ has been preached. Let people have come to Sunday school, and when they leave the class, they said, Christ has been preached. The people come at 3:30 and search anything, but Christ came somewhere along the line in that lesson. And so, let Christ shine everywhere. That is our unity, is in Christ. So I learned from the Apostle Paul that my life should be a life in Christ, and I should be known by a person who is in Christ. That is the key to any presentation. May God bless us. This is a nice opening for a great book that's going to rebuke to the T. It's going to rebuke every doctrine that is in error. But he comes in a sweet manner. He comes in a very firm character, but very kind, to tell them, we need to talk about Christ. We don't want to talk about so-and-so. We don't want to talk about this guy. We don't want to talk about the other. We're just going to be talking about Christ. And that is what we need to do in life. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson you gave us tonight. To abandon any critique in any other area of life and to dwell in the thought what Christ means to us. And how Christ has modified our life. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson the apostle gave us tonight. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. All right. God bless you. And those who listen, may God bless you. And have a great week.